Kansas State University President Richard Myers says as of last count, there were 67 K-State students from the seven countries affected by the ban. There is a handful that have applied for admission and been admitted for the fall term. In addition, there are some faculty members and a researcher that are also affected.
I think we have three faculty and we have one researcher who's with the, as I understand it, the extension site in Fort Hays, who is in Mexico doing research, and his country he's from is Sudan. So we're trying to figure out, my guess is he's a green card holder, so as they've modified this, maybe we won't have trouble getting him back in. But so we have people that have been caught up in this. And you can imagine, as a student, there's with this kind of uncertainty, it just causes extra stress in their lives. We're trying to help all we can to provide information and support.
So where did you go for help in getting these students, these faculty members moved around? Or did the university do it all by itself?
So far, we've done it all by ourselves. I don't think we have any students at this particular time that are outside the U.S. study abroad or whatever trying to get back. My understanding is that we don't. That could change because it's a fluid situation. But so we've been trying to provide them all the other kind of help and support we can. We are prepared, if they want to explore legal issues, to go to outside counsel. There's outside counsel in Kansas City we'd contract with that do immigration law, and we, if we need help like that.
Do you have any idea if things don't change, if alterations are not made, what will be done, what can be done to help these people?
I think it depends. No, I don't think we do yet. It depends on how long. This was supposed to be for 90 days, as I understand it. If it goes longer than that and we get into the summertime when they might be traveling back home to see family and so forth before they come back, it could be a problem getting them back. There'll probably be a subset that will say, you know, is this the kind of country I want to study in? I mean, if there are other alternatives out there, are there countries that would be make it easier for me as a student who's trying to do my studies, or if I'm trying to do research or whatever it is? So, I mean, the basic thing, it's not just the seven countries, but we have, as you know, a pretty large international population here of students and faculty and staff, and we value them. I had the same belief when I was in the military that in our military schools, our educational institutions, the intermediate service schools, the senior service schools, the war colleges, that the richness that you get from your international students is, you can't duplicate that anywhere. And at the same time, they get to see your culture and you get to understand their culture. And in the big scheme of things, that's what this is all about, is getting to know one another. So the fear factor goes away, so we start to understand each other. And I think in the end, if you want to, one of the pieces to dealing with worldwide terrorism is education and understanding. And that's what we do here. We do education, and because our international students interact with American students all the time, better understanding. That's what it's about.
On another subject, I would assume, and you know what they say about that, that you've been talking with lawmakers in Topeka about budget issues. What sort of exchange has that been, and has it been a positive one?
Overall, I think it's been very positive. And we had Higher Ed Day in the Capitol a couple weeks ago. And on that day, the chancellor at KU, Bernadette Gray Little, and myself, we went to the leaders of both the House and the Senate, did several office calls together, talking about higher education, not about KU, not about K-State, but about the need for better support, more certainty around our higher education budget. From all the lawmakers, there is a degree of optimism. I think this stems from the fact that the complexion of the legislature has changed in the last election. So there are 43 new legislators, and they have, I guess, a different view on the role that higher education plays in this state. So no promises, but the promise was to try to fix the fiscal issues that Kansas have. And if they do that, then we'll be a beneficiary if we can get our fiscal house in order and not have to continually take cuts out of higher education when we can't make our revenue projections.
I'm not an expert on taxation by any means, but it's my understanding that even if they raise taxes in this session, it's not going to be in time. Is that the case?
I think that's the case. I think they can do some things in this section session that will probably have an impact in fiscal year 18, which starts 1 July of this year. But they said the real change, we'll start to swing this now, like steering a big ship. You know, it's a lot of inertia, so it'll take a while to turn that ship. As they turn this, our fiscal ship, if you will, it's going to take a while. So 19 would probably be the first year we'd be beneficiaries of maybe a new tax scheme.
If there are budget cuts for one reason or another, is the university prepared to take the hits?
I was asked a question in a hearing I did in front of the Higher Ed Budget Committee. And they said, well, what if we gave you a, I think it was a 6% cut this year, FY17, and they said that would amount to about $11 million out of your budget that you get from the state. And we already have a decrease in revenue because of decreasing enrollment last fall that we're dealing with. That's around $4.5 to $5 million for trying to revenue we were expecting we didn't get because enrollment was down. And we haven't fully accommodated that. So if you had that $5 million on top of the $11 million, you're at $16 million cut this year. And here we are with 5 months to go in the year. You have very few levers you can pull. We have a lot of fixed costs, utilities, people, compensation, salaries, all those sorts of things. There's a lot of fixed cost. So we can take it out of some areas that are more discretionary. Most all of those are around how we take care of students in terms of tutoring and mentoring and all those kinds of programs. So that'd be, I think, devastating to the students. And I don't think we could find the money. I don't know what we would do. I was at a loss because as we look at it, we don't have, at this late in the fiscal year, if they were to give us a big cut like that, I was a little facetious to some of my friends that, well, $16 million, maybe we could put up some nice for sale signs because it would be traumatic and very bad for the university.
Is there a chance people would lose their jobs?
Well, you'd have to look at that. I mean, but even if you do that, you know, when people, let's just say you said, okay, some people have to lose their jobs. There's usually a compensation package as they go out the door. So budget-wise, I don't know that, again, we're so late in the fiscal year, there's just not much you can do. I think that whole notion a little bit more than a hypothetical, but pretty much hypothetical from the committee. The question they asked me about a 6% cut, the $11 million, I don't think there's a very low probability we would see that.
You said student numbers were down. Do we have any idea why? Was it the increase in tuition?
I think some of it was affordability. Tuition had to be part of it. That's anecdotally what we're learning. But part of it is just high school numbers are about flat, so they're not growing in Kansas at this time. So it's part of that. It's part, and you would think, well, if they're not coming to the four-year universities, maybe they're going to junior college, but their enrollments are flat to down too. So I don't think we fully understand what's happening in the state of Kansas. But it was down by several hundred, which then has a huge impact on revenue, frankly. So we're still analyzing that and trying to take those steps to shore up so next fall we can at least stay level and not go down. So we can have a little bit better prediction of what kind of revenue we can expect.
There's an offer made by the governor if we can get 4 years in at 15,000 or below. Can we do that?
I don't think we can do that. We're looking at it. But about the only way it works is to go to a two-year community college and then go to the least expensive Regent University would be Fort Hays State, as I understand it. So 2 years in community college, 2 years at Fort Hays, you might get it done. But that would be really limiting the kind of disciplines that they could study and the kind of degrees they could get. Because here, whether you're in business or engineering, two very popular areas for us, there are fees on top of tuition. So we don't think it we don't think it can be done, frankly.
How does our tuition compare with institutions in surrounding states and elsewhere around the United States?
We're a bargain with any other four-year university. If you look at the quality of our education here at Kansas State University and our tuition, we are a bargain, even with other, which we anticipate making another tuition increase here. We're going to propose one. We don't know if it'll be approved, but we are a bargain nationwide, however you look at it. We can be proud of that. But even small tuition increases for some families can be devastating, and they can't afford that. So what we've done is try to create some needs-based scholarships, not just merit, but needs-based, particularly for first-generation students or those students out of lower socioeconomic circumstances, so we can help them fulfill their goal for a higher education degree and fulfill our mission as a land grant to provide access. So we're very, very cognizant of how that works. And I think part of it is affordability for some of our students and their families.
Have we been able to increase money for scholarships?
Yes, we are. We're shifting some from merit-based to needs-based. We've got a whole new marketing scheme, if you will, around and working with our donors, trying to encourage needs-based scholarships so we can take care of those that have financial issues.
As you look down the road, are you optimistic?
Of course. Yeah, because what we got here, like I said, we are a bargain. We've got great faculty, by the way, who haven't had a raise in a long time, so that's got to be one of the priorities when we get our fiscal affairs in order. Well, we've got not just faculty that has compensation issues. We have a lot of our classified and unclassified have compensation issues, and some of them very serious, and those have to be addressed. As a leader of the institution, you know, as a leader, one of the things you have to have in your toolbox is the ability to compensate people fairly. And we have some that are not being compensated fairly. And we have no options right now because we have no money. But it really bothers me. It's one of the things I think about when I go to bed at night. How are we going to take care of people that are working here on campus, taking care of us? I'm very optimistic. We got a lot going for us here. It's remarkable.
That's the president of Kansas State University, Richard Myers. President Myers is a retired Air Force general and former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. I'm Richard Baker, and this is the K-State Radio Network.